relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Grave concern for the danger to the institution of the presidency that I believe even convening these proceedings indicates. The joy I believed I would feel if I ever had the great privilege of appearing before this body is replaced by sadness and pain. My overriding emotion is frankly wanting to cry for what I believe these proceedings will do to our great, so long enduring, sacred Constitution and to the American people on both sides of the great divide that now characterizes our nation.
The opposite of peace and unity, more division. That was the argument, the core argument made by one of the president's attorneys yesterday, the 45th president of the United States, David Schoen. It was not a sterling performance. His colleague, Brian Caster, well, let's put it mildly, wasn't his best day in court. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting live from the ReliefFactor.com studios across the nation to more than 300 stations, also live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, available on Instagram TV, and don't forget our backup channel at Rumble, just in case Silicon Valley gets a little bit salty. That's rumble.com/Seb Gorka. We have a very, very special guest for you for the first hour of this show. This is a different kind of week. So every day we're going a little bit deeper with people who can help us navigate the shoals of misinformation that are legion. And today it is none other than the founder, the CEO, the editor-in-chief of justthenews.com, John Solomon. Welcome to America First.
Good to be with you, Seb.
So I have to ask you from a point of view as now a man who has his own news agency. Let's start with the news of the day. Yesterday, the Democrats, their video, and then the president's team, your journalistic analysis.
You know, I thought they had a great day as Democrats for emotional effect and a bad day for factual effect because the facts aren't in their favor. And the art of omission, which became the way that the Russia collusion story, the Ukraine scandal could be built. If you don't tell people that Carter Page was working for the CIA and you don't tell them that you figured out he never met with Russians, you can sustain the story that maybe there was Russia collusion. Yesterday and today, the impeachment managers, you know, played snippets of Donald Trump's tape. They showed some video, and they leave out one of the fundamental facts, which is in the president's speech, he said clearly, "Go peacefully." They cut that out. That's a pretty big omission. And I think, you know, while the Democrats had a good day of stirring emotions, when the facts get in front of these jurors, when you hear the president say the words, "Go peacefully," when you find out that these attacks were planned for days and weeks in advance, the FBI is eminently clear on that now. I've read through 100 different affidavits and court cases. The planning for this was days and weeks in advance. When you find out they were getting equipment in December, they were identifying commanders, setting up communication channels, talking about Virginia working with North Carolina days before the event. This wasn't a spontaneous riot incited by the president. You can't incite something spontaneously that was already planned. And that fact, the Democrats have not addressed. They're just moving everyone's eyes to somewhere else so you don't have to look at the fundamental facts that this trial should be turning on.
I've heard of the art of the deal. I've read the art of the deal. I've read the art of war and used it frequently. I haven't heard of the art of omission, and I like that a lot. It is a good descriptor.
It could have been written by Adam Schiff, of all people.
Adam Schiff. Let me ask you, when it comes to personalities, are you not shocked by the brazen decision to have Eric Swalwell again be one of the managers, a man who is famous in recent months for his relationship with a Chinese communist spy? Did that surprise you, John Solomon?
I think there's a second issue where Swalwell becomes incredibly vulnerable. We can go back to 2017 and take everything Eric Swalwell assured us was in the intelligence files on Russia and then say it all turned out not to be true. He said this, that's what happened. This said that. Now, why would you trust this man again after what he sold you in 2017? I think the president's lawyers will do that at some course in the trial and destroy his credibility. The China spy is a whole other issue, right? The possibility that he was compromised by a Chinese asset. And it would be nice before they allowed him back in the well to be an impeachment manager if he could address for the Congress what he really did, because we have a lot of cloaked visibility. We don't know what Eric Swalwell really did with this woman, what was involved there. And it's a shame that before he gets back in the well in such a prestigious decision, he's allowed not to answer the factual questions about his conduct. But the biggest way to impeach him is just to take all of his promises from 2017 on Russia collusion, show they didn't come forward, and then go back and say, why do you trust him now?
Yeah, a very, very good question. But the mainstream legacy media will not ask it. That is why we have new organs such as justthenews.com. Follow them, bookmark them today. Also, know that Just the News is a strategic partner with Real America's Voice. John is responsible for three of their shows, including Just the News AM. You can watch that programming on Roku, Pluto, and Dish. You are constantly breaking stories that others, not that they don't break, they refuse to even touch. I think one of the ones, was it today or yesterday, that I retweeted from your site, justthenews.com, was exactly what you mentioned, the evidence of pre-planning for the events, for the violence of January 6th. You said they pre-planned, they moved weapons and equipment. From all that you've read from those federal sources, who is the they, John?
You know, it's a ragtag team of activists, many of them with a military or security background, that became frustrated by their government organizations, by the lack of truth for the last 5 years, and decided on their own to organize things. It's sort of a ragtag team. There's no other way to describe it. And some of their communications are unsophisticated, but they had a plan and they executed a plan. And that's why they breached the doors and windows. It's why they stormed the Capitol. And all of their planning, here's the big thing that I think is so important to understand. All of their planning was done in open view on GoFundMe, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Parler. And we heard from Christopher Wray last September. He told the Congress, listen, I'm looking at all this extremism stuff. We're monitoring everything. We're on top of this domestic terrorism threat. I can't figure out how they missed all of this planning in plain view. They have it now in the indictments, but it's too late. The goal of the FBI should have been to thwart this, to stop this in advance. and they did not. And I think that'll be one of the lessons after we get through the politics of impeachment. We got to go back and figure out how did our intelligence law enforcement apparatus let us down. This was a preventable attack because it was telegraphed in plain view of the FBI.
Is there any evidence of malefactors saying that we don't need to get ready of any political decisions, or is this simply rank incompetence? Can you tell at this point when it comes to the federal or to the DC or to the mayor's response, if they had this intelligence, if it wasn't on super encrypted communication systems, why no protection?
Yeah, there are notifications, right? We know on January 4th and 5th, the FBI, having intercepted some of the plans in Northern Virginia, notified the Joint Terrorism Task Force in Washington. So that gets you to the U.S. Attorney, the FBI in Washington, the Capitol Police, the Metropolitan Police. And I think it did trigger some action. Perhaps the greatest culpability that hasn't been addressed yet is, what does the mayor of the U.S. Capitol do? Who is the mayor of the U.S. Capitol? It's the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. Right. She runs the grounds. And we know her top deputy went back to the police, said, you're not going to bring national troops in, even though he asked for them. We're not going to do anything more than what the Capitol Police already have. And that turned out to be a fatefully bad decision. But Nancy Pelosi, what she knew, when she knew it, who she talked to, there's been radio silence. I'm stunned that House Republicans don't walk in every day to the chamber and say, before we get our business done, we need to ask the House Speaker, what did you know and when did you know it? Because if her House Sergeant at Arms conveyed this, it seems almost implausible that the House Sergeant didn't talk to her.
But that's what I was going to say. It's okay for Nancy, because she fired the Sergeant at Arms. We're talking to John Solomon Reports, founder of JustTheNews.com. Stay on this channel.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Do you want to know how bad it is in the swamp? Listen to somebody who actually investigates the corruption. The book, the latest by John Solomon, along with Seamus Bruner, is Fallout, Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies that enriched the Clinton and Biden dynasties. Get it today. Follow this man, Jay Solomon Reports, on Twitter. Also, check out his website, the very, 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 how should I put this? It's doing real journalism. Real journalism, justthenews.com, and also their programs on Real America's Voice. John, for those of you who aren't familiar with your backstory, I'm sure there are so many who want to know, how did you get to where you are today? Because so many people respect the work you do today. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you came from, your family background, and why you created Just the News.
That's a fun story. So I grew up in a family of all Irish cops. In fact, I'm the only male in my family not to be a cop in two generations. And so when I told him I was going to become a journalist, my father cried, saying, oh, you're the black sheep. Oh, no, don't go there. But I love to investigate. And I think I got my investigative DNA from my dad and my brother. And but I
did some work, right?
You
did some work, some kind of law enforcement.
I did. Before my dad would let me become a professional journalist, I had to work cell block in a courthouse in Connecticut to show that I could do that type of work.
I bet that was an education, right?
I did. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's the greatest thing my father ever did for me, because 5 days into that, I said, I'm never going to come back and be in this jail for anything wrong. I'm never going to commit a crime.
Scared straight.
Absolutely. My dad's a wise man. But I love to write. And for 22 years, I worked for the mainstream media, AP for 20, the Washington Post for 2, and then became the editor of the Washington Times. Went to The Hill. And throughout, I always did investigative reporting. And then I always had an entrepreneurial side. I love to build products that could sustain journalism. And in the last few years, I became so dismayed looking at my colleagues willfully not reporting the truth, willfully distorting the truth. Front page stories in the New York Times that could be blown away with a simple few fact checks. And I decided, you know what, I can't stand for that anymore. So I jumped in and created my own news site called Just the News. We're exactly 1 month old, or 1 year old this month.
What?
And
that was like yesterday. Are you kidding me?
I know it. A year has blown by already. It's
happy birthday. Well done.
Yeah. Well, we got a great team of reporters. We're all committed to the truth. We don't want to give you noise. We want to give you news. We're going to give you facts. We're not going to try to indoctrinate you. We're going to inform you, and then you get to make up your mind. And one of our promises is everything we use to build a story, we put in the digging tool next to the story. You click on that button, you see all of our raw materials from our notebook, our audio, our video, our documents. We want you to make up your own mind. We're not trying to make up your mind for you. And the reaction's been humbling. 20-plus million Americans a month now read us and consume us on video and on our podcast, and we're just trying to grow. We want to be honest brokers of the truth. We'll give facts and let other people make up their minds.
I love that. Noise, not news. And also this thing that you've done from the beginning, the dig in, that allows the reader who wants to see the primary sources, where does that piece of information come from? You just click on it and you can find it. Why that didn't exist before is crazy. It's unbelievable. Go ahead.
I'll tell you a funny thing, Sam.
Yeah.
I pretty pride myself at going through documents and finding the good stuff. But I can't tell you the number of times my much smarter readers than me have found something in a document called, you know, sent me a net, took the time to send me a message saying, hey, I think you missed something on page 37. And I go back and sure as heck, I missed something on page 37. I'm so grateful that the readers engage and they're investigating alongside of us. It has been an amazing experience. I've never had more fun in my career than the last year. Just being around the people that make up the Just the News community, we're so lucky.
Well, congratulations. Incredible, great. I can't believe it's been a year already. JustTheNews.com. And don't forget John Solomon's podcast as well. So let me have a sanity check from you, if I may. I want to see if we're inured with the fake news or whether something has changed, because you've been in it for decades. You know, you started at the beginning. You've been, you know, Washington Post. You've been an editor at the Washington Times. Wasn't there a time when something like the Post? Look, we know reporters, 93% of them vote Democrat. We know it's a left-leaning industry. Okay, I get it. But it's changed, hasn't it? I mean, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, CNN wasn't a problem. The Post, the New York Times may have been liberal, but they weren't manufacturing or keeping things alive that were clearly fallacious for years, such as the Russia hoax. You were on the inside. Has there been a systematic deterioration, or has it always been that bad?
No, I think you're right on the you have it right when you say there's a systemic deterioration that occurred. I began to notice it in the mid-2000s. So before 2005, I worked at the AP, and if you had an opinion or you expressed it in the newsroom, you were unemployed back in those days.
Wow.
You weren't allowed to have an opinion. If you got a fact wrong, you were in big trouble, and if you got two facts wrong, you were fired. I love that about the AP. They were so diligent, and they tried to stay in the center. When I went to the Washington Post in 2007, I got an education. I all of a sudden came in a newsroom where outcomes were more important than facts. And the day that it dawned on me was the day that Scooter Libby, Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, got convicted in the Valerie Plame scandal. And half the newsroom cheered at that moment. I'd never seen such an expression of opinion.
So when the verdict was announced, you actually had vocal cheering?
There was cheering and applause.
Wow.
And I was so upset. I remember I walked into the editor-in-chief's office saying, you can't allow that to happen. And to his credit, he came out and scolded people. But I began to realize that I had gotten in the profession purely for facts. Listen, in 2001, George W. Bush hated me. Why? Because I did a lot of investigating showing how the FBI and the Bush administration missed some of the dots in 9/11. Why did I do that? Because that served the country's interest. But I suddenly got to the Post newsroom and I realized they're actually in it for one side. And it just began to mystify me. And that was the beginning of a very long process. I think Twitter was the champagne cork that came out. I think Twitter gave every journalist the ability to have an opinion when they shouldn't. And after that, it seeped into their content, into their video, and it's just gone crazy. Now all opinionators are all journalists are opinionators, and few care about the facts.
So this is what I wanted to ask. So you actually think that the trigger, the blue touch paper, was the advent of social media, that suddenly there's an outlet, people feel free to be political, and then somehow that seeps back into their journalism? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because Twitter became, remember, the business model was eroding in journalism, advertising, classifieds, jobs, cars, that was all eroding. And so the chase for a click became the object of the business model, not the chase for truth, the chase for a click. And Twitter unporked that. The more provocative you were on Twitter, the more likely you were to get a click. And it just unleashed this opinionated side of journalists. They started to show their own colors in an effort to save the business. And in what did they do? They actually ruined the business. Look at the ratings of American media. They're at all-time lows. Yeah. 30% of Americans in a poll we did at Just the News last month said they don't trust a single word of what the news media reports. That is jaw-dropping for an industry that had news anchors we trusted and newspapers we read every night when we got home from work. We're an industry in great disdain, but you know what? Getting back to the facts will fix it.
That's why it's called justthenews.com. He's John Solomon. A whole hour with him here on America First. Stay on this channel. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
The impeachment trial is proceeding as we speak. Somebody, where do they find these people who do nothing all year and then just get pushed in front of the cameras? Madeleine Dean, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, one of the House impeachment managers, is speaking now. If there's anything breaking or of significance, we will share it with you. I'm Sebastian Gorka, member of the National Security Education Board, host of America First on the Salem Radio Network, with a very special guest, all hour, John Solomon. He is the creator of justthenews.com. Follow him at jsolomonreports. Also, his latest work, Fallout: Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies That Enriched the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. John, one of the things that I think one of the best optics to understand what is proceeding on Capitol Hill right now is really what has happened to news provision. And it's not just the lack of gumshoe reporters, as we discussed in the break, or the model that it's clickbait, it's be first, even if it's not necessarily true, but it's the smear tactic. And I think these things are connected, that we have seen a burgeoning of the smear tactic used not just against politicians. We're used to that in campaigns, from the pamphleteers 150 years ago to today, and what was done with Goldwater and the Daisy Chain ad. We know all that stuff. But smearing people who are simply doing the work that threatens those who are in power. Talk to us about what happened to you in the last 4 years as you ran down this story of Russian collusion and just how prevalent this smear tactic has become.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure somewhere along the way, Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell got pretty angry at me because piece by piece, I was able to put the factual credit together because I had sources inside the FBI telling me what was going on. The real rank and file knew all along that Russia collusion was bogus. Even Pete Strzok admits it many times in his text message. No big there.
The FBI agent.
It took a while.
The FBI agent.
Yeah, right. The man who ran Crossfire Hurricane, the famous texter. he even knew that there was no there there. And they increasingly became concerned that they were sustaining an investigation that was using the most awesome tools of the American intelligence arsenal to basically carry out a political dirty trick on behalf of Hillary Clinton. There were only three, four, five of us who were digging up those facts on a daily basis. My good friend Sarah Carter and, you know, Molly Hemingway at the Federalist and a couple of others. And we put it together. And it became apparent to me that I was poking a bear, because I started to have a lot of my Democratic friends say, John, watch your back. They're coming for you. And I'm like, where are they going to come for me? I just wrote facts. I'm not doing any opinion.
So people actually warned you?
Yes. I'll tell you a famous moment. Then I pivoted. I stumbled into Ukraine. The same FBI people that were telling me about Russia were telling me, hey, the FBI had a whole bunch of evidence that suggested that Hunter Biden was cashing in as dad. You ought to take a look at it. I reached some State Department officials. They said, yeah, some real concerns. So I started writing that. And I remember the day Lanny Davis, who I've known for years as a, you know, Democratic lawyer, worked with him all through the Clinton years. He literally sent a text message saying, hey, I know you're doing good work. Stand down. You're about to be smeared. It's not worth getting your reputation ruined. I couldn't figure it out. I had many other people, a lawyer in Hollywood, many other people. And like a few days later, the famous whistleblower, or it's, I have a hard time saying that because he wasn't a legal whistleblower, came out with the Ukraine thing. And then all of a sudden, I was smeared. I became a conspiracy theorist. People were saying I had it all wrong. 2 years later now, we know everything I wrote about Ukraine and Russia is 100% accurate. Not a single fact in any one of my stories at the Hill were ever changed. Why? Because they were all documented at the time. But the effort to cancel me was a prelude to what we've seen now. Many, many other people be canceled, whether it's Eric Greitens, the governor of Missouri, false criminal case, Donald Trump, false collusion, Carter Page, false FISA. The art of destruction has now become the art of information warfare, disinformation being used to smear people. It's one thing to smear people if you got real facts.
Yeah.
It's another thing to create a false reality. And that's where we find ourselves at the beginning of 2021.
It's not information warfare. We know what that is. It is disinformation warfare. And if you dare to tell the truth, and the powers that be in the swamp see you as a threat, they will try to smear you. But people like John Solomon keep doing what they do. That's why you need to follow this man, support his work, justthenews.com, also Jay Solomon Reports, and three of the programs at Real America's Voice, including Just the News AM. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Back with John in a moment. Broadcasting live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Pain relief that is 100% drug-free. Pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer, 100%. Wow, that could be you. Find out today if Relief Factor is the answer you've been looking for. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. Call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. If you've found relief nowhere else, you know it makes sense. You deserve to find out. Do it today. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
Former President Trump was banned. If he came back, ran for office again, and was elected president, would you allow him back on the platform?
So the way our policies work, when you're removed from the platform, you're removed from the platform, whether you're a commentator, you're a CFO, or you are a former or current public official.
That Squawk Box, CNBC, asking the CFO, the chief financial officer of Twitter, Ned Siegel, what would happen, that crazy eventuality, If Donald Trump ran for president again, which he is entitled to do at the moment, and he won and became the commander-in-chief, President 47, would he get his Twitter account back? No, because you are the person forever by the titans of Silicon Valley. That gives us an apropos to discuss. It's not just media. It is social media with our good friend John Solomon. He is the creator, the president, the CEO of JustTheNews.com. Follow him at JSolomonReports. John, elected president, but you're still in the memory hole? How does that work in a representative republic?
I seem to recall a certain German leader and a certain Mexican leader wondering that themselves. Like, what the heck's going on in America? I can't believe what they're doing. They won't even let the president have a Twitter account. You know, the insanity of the moment we're in now will wane at some point. And those who made mistakes, meaning large companies that squandered their goodwill with the American people, will eventually pay a price. You've seen Twitter pay it in the stock price. But when new viable alternatives get fully burned in, and when there's a Parler or a Clout Hub or a Rumble that are big enough to take on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, and that time is coming. These companies will suddenly face competition, and it won't be a pretty scene for them. They're so used to a monopolistic position, they're getting away with things like censoring whoever they want, making false fact-check claims. But when the competition starts, and there is a multi-billion, my reporting shows there's a multi-billion dollar effort to create viable alternatives to all of those platforms. Within a year, conservatives will have an equal technological foothold in the space. They haven't had it for years, but within a year they will. And I wouldn't want to be a Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube, Google investor when that moment comes, because value from their companies will begin to drop. The market always self-corrects things like censorship.
Yeah, yeah. I've sent this idea to several people at the top of media concerns. It's very easy. 74 million people voted for a certain candidate. He didn't win the election, or at least wasn't allowed to get a second term, whichever way you want to deal with it. And the people who voted for him clearly aren't happy with the way things are on the left with social media. If somebody comes along with the requisite investment and says, I'm going to provide a value-neutral platform for social media, for emails, for texting under one banner, and you will not be unpersoned if you disagree politically with the owners of that company, you'd have the biggest market the world has ever seen. So, guys, if you're looking for an opportunity, it is knocking on your door. John, when it comes to all of these platforms, whoever owns them, when they were created,
right.
Talk to us about 230. You are a publisher. You can be sued for libel. If you get stuff wrong, it's on your neck because you are the person who created Just the News. Is this the remedy that these people should be treated, these companies like Twitter, like Facebook, should be treated the same way that you are at Just the News?
There's an interesting conversation beginning to go on behind the scenes with legal experts, some policy experts. There are some Democrats that are as worried about Twitter's market hold and Facebook's market hold as there are Republicans. They have different reasons for being worried about it. Republicans are censorship. Twitter is about monopolistic practices. But at the end of the day, there could be a coming together. And one of the things I'm hearing as a possibility is that if you're going to continue to claim Section 230, you got to abide by the First Amendment. Allow your quasi-government organization. That may be one of the modifications to 230 that occurs. No censorship if you're involved. No monopolistic behavior if you're involved. You're going to act like a neutral party.
So no suspensions, no throttling, yeah. No shadow banning.
With the exception of if you do illegal speech, right? There is certain forms of speech
incitement
that are illegal.
To violence, what have you.
Yeah, right. That's right. Or fraud, you know, clear fraud. But otherwise, and so that's one dynamic that could go on behind the scenes. And I think that's an interesting compromise. A lot of people I'm talking to are getting more excited that something like that may fall into it. There's another avenue to watch. You're going to start to see lawsuits, not against Twitter and Facebook, right? Or against, let's take another one where there's a lot of hijacking of truth right now, Wikipedia, right? But the individual editors that do work for Wikipedia, the fact checkers that are private fact checkers for Facebook, they are incredibly vulnerable because they don't have Section 230 protection. And you might see the first landmark lawsuits looking at the people that are in the layer below that hijack the truth or create cancel culture. That may be a place where litigation succeeds. Those are two places I'm hearing from my reporting are going to become more prevalent in the next 3 months.
That's fascinating, because Wikipedia likewise has become a den of disinformation. And if you challenge it, I remember when, you know, the smear tactics started against me, people wanted to challenge what was written on my Wikipedia page. Right. And as soon as you came in as somebody who said, no, that's a lie, what happens to the Wikipedia page? It is locked. So you can't change it. Once it's got to a place where the mainstream is happy with it, you can't touch it. So you think that that could be dealt with through legal cases?
Yeah, certainly the editors, because there are people that make these changes that are not employees of Wikipedia.
Right.
They're just crowdsourced reporters. And I think there's a landmark case to be had to find out who those editors are. Are they connected to people like Media Matters or activists? I don't know. But we ought to find out, because there's an awful lot of similarities in my Wikipedia profile to what I've seen written about me on Media Matters and other leftist sites. And I'm starting to think, you know, I'm not a particularly bright guy, but I think I could put two and two together. I think there's something going on there. We ought to look at that and see. There ought to be some avenue for people to reclaim their reputations when falsehoods are made about them. I think the next 6 months are going to be a very exciting, eclectic time in the marketplace where some of these problems get self-corrected by market forces, which, by the way, conservatives prefer the free market to fix things, right? I think that moment's coming.
We do indeed. We don't like a lot of government involved. 50 executive actions in 3 weeks is not what we are in favor of. We are talking to John Solomon. Jay Solomon reports on Twitter, justthenews.com, also on the Real America's Voice Network. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Are you in daily pain? Have you found relief nowhere else? If that's the case, you must try this 100% drug-free product that is providing daily liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included, as well as Reggie from Florida. Reggie, I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Wow, now that's an endorsement. See all of the video endorsements from people who are getting their lives back at relieffactor.com, and then find out for yourself if this is the answer. Order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. Call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me. Do it today. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
You know, and we've seen it in Bosnia, we've seen it in Rwanda, where radio was telling people that, you know, Hutus were telling the radio listeners that Tutsi were cockroaches, for, you know, getting them ginned up for genocide. And you see it in these videos where people who claim they are patriots are in the face of a police officer calling him, you know, as we're seeing it right there. And you know, gouging out the eye of one, you know, squeezing one in, you know, suffocating one in a doorway.
CNN's Anderson Cooper looks like he's trying to audition for a role on the Democrats' impeachment management team, comparing the events of January the 6th to a genocide in Rwanda that cost the lives of 800,000 souls in that country. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Before we get back to our guest, please support this show by supporting those who make our Salem products possible, especially Mike Lindell. If you haven't seen his new movie, check it out at MichaelJLindell.com. That's MichaelJLindell.com. You need to see it. Also, support him by going to MyPillow.com because you're a friend of the show. You're going to get 60% off if you use my name. He's got almost 100 products there, all superb, all made in America, including the pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape. Even John Solomon uses it. Call 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. John, last 2 minutes we have with you. Thank you for taking the time being with us. CNN... Yeah. Saying January the 6th is like the Rwandan genocide. I mean, after that, you just switch. Does anybody take that seriously, John?
Listen, they compared Russia to Watergate. That fell apart. Yeah. The idea that they'd make another insane superlative that insults all the victims of the Rwanda genocide or any genocide. We've seen it time and again. When you don't have facts, you have to use trickery, linguistic trickery, and that's what Democrats and their media defenders have done for a long time. Why don't we just stick to the facts? Let's find out what the facts are. The facts are the Capitol riot was planned in advance. Donald Trump didn't incite it. It was already underway. The pipe bombs were planted the night before. The communication devices were secured in December. Let's get to the facts. The American people are a lot smarter. They can't have the wool pulled over their eyes with some tricky language.
Has there been any information or leads on the pipe bombs, John, that you've seen?
Other than the FBI believes that they were designed to be a diversionary tactic for the Capitol, pull police away from it so that they'd have a better chance of storming the media. But that's exactly what gets to the tactical command and control that this event had. It was not a spontaneous event, just like it was not a spontaneous event in Benghazi. We had something like this 10 years ago. It's the same trick warmed over again.
That's fascinating. I think there's an article in there somewhere, the parallels between January the 6th and the media treatment of Benghazi. Wow, that's why he's John Solomon. The book is Fallout. The company is justthenews.com, and his account is J. Solomon Reports. And don't forget his podcast as well. Keep doing what you do, John. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Don't touch that dial.